Welcome to the Science and Paranormal with Dr. Jana and Dr. Elliot, where science meets the unexpected, where we delve deep into the mysteries that straddle the line between scientific inquiry and paranormal. Get ready for a mind-altering journey as we embark on this phenomenal discovery together on United Public Radio Network 107.7 FM.
Welcome to another episode of Science and the Paranormal. Sorry about that, folks. I normally have the trailer ready to go right away. I got engaged with such a conversation with Dr. Jana.
I got spaced out, right?
I did. Tonight, Dr. Jana and I will be talking about something that's up and coming in the world of the paranormal, but it's artificial intelligence in the paranormal. Is it good? Is it bad? Or is it both? And you're listening to Science and the Paranormal, broadcasting live, of course, from the United Public Radio Network, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM out of New Orleans, and also on Roku TV.
Live on Tuesday night, everyone. It's hard to imagine that we would be gathering together on Tuesday night to speak about something paranormal, but here we are, so interested in it and want to ask questions and find answers. And Dr. Elliot and I will try to at least to shed some light on some of the questions that you may have had. So I was not even thinking about it, but you, Dr. Elliot, proposed that topic. And I thought that this has been in the back of my mind for so long. Anything that I do, right, it just is overshadowed by AI and how everything is going to be projected in the future, how we're going to live, how is this going to be reflected in our day-to-day life, and not even speaking about the paranormal investigations, paranormal activity, hypnotherapy, dream studies, and everything. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I just read an article today that they were using artificial intelligence to predict something in the environment. You know, like it, pretty much every discipline now is tapping into artificial intelligence to, you know, hopefully boost whatever it is that you're doing and make it more advantageous and easier. However, I know one thing that I've noticed in the paranormal world is the video and photographs now are dangerously realistic thanks to artificial intelligence. And I still need to speak with my two professional photographers on my team. I've got two trained photographers, one videographer on the team, and I need to ask them if there's ways that they are able to tell if, a photo's been digitally altered. There's still some, obviously, AI photograph programs that aren't exactly perfect. I know, like, I've seen some things where doorknobs are not in the right place or humans don't look that great. They have, like, six fingers. So it depends on, which application you're using. There's a lot of free ones out there, but there's also a lot of paid subscription ones. And in fact, I have a paid subscription to ChatGPT-4 right from the OpenAI website for PPRI and for, you know, doing some research. Actually, my wife uses it as well to help her sometimes, craft professional letters or research law really fast. Because I will say it is a lot more accurate when you're looking for some specific answer than going to Google. Because with Google, you might not have your site indexed properly, like we didn't for a long time at Paranormal Phenomena Research and Investigation. Our website was not SEO compliant, so we weren't really appearing very well on Google. That's since been corrected, though, thanks to my digital marketing and communications director, Jody. And then you also got to look for the sponsors. links that pop up first on Google. So I normally like to scroll down and kind of see, you know, who's the top person that's coming up that's not paying to be the top person as well. So lots of different factors there. You know, what kind of things have you noticed, you know, in since the release of all these AI programs?
Well, you mentioned six fingers. I've noticed that people look too realistic. Is there such a thing as looking too realistic?
Well, some of those profile pictures that are being created, and I noticed a lot of business people are taking like just a photo, like you and I could take a selfie right now, run it through and say, I need like a professional business photo. Some of them look, like you said, almost like too perfect, like your makeup's done for you and everything's perfect and your face is chiseled and, you know, you're wearing a nice suit. You're right. You know, some of those are making people look really, really professional.
Oh, yeah, professional, but face chiseled and everything else, it might not even be you. I've noticed that because I tried to look at it and what, in fact, it is in relation to the photographies, right? And they said that it will create your professional image or if you just are looking for something else. It will create your image in some different settings. I tried that. So you download about 10 of your photos, your portraits, and then it produces one for you. But I noticed that none of them look like me. There is some resemblance, but still, perhaps they are not as developed as they would be in maybe 6 months, maybe in a year. But still, they don't look true to the image myself, for example. And I don't look what they showed me. And of course, that the imagine how many psychological problems people are going to have once they start applying this AI image technology to themselves, because they are creating a new image for themselves. And that image is idealized image. And people may get used to it, and that would be the only one that they would like to look at, the only image that they would like themselves to be represented by. I see myself, like, for example, if I have a picture somewhere, right, and all of a sudden, of course, like you look at yourself in the mirror, you catch yourself in the video when you're not prepared, right, when you're running around, and it's like, oh, is that me? Oh my God, I don't look good as I look on the videos or on the pictures when I'm prepared. And then you get the taken aback, like, is that me? Oh yeah, that's you, because this is real. And what is going to happen that if people are not willing to see their realistic self, that will be a fertile ground for a lot of psychological problems, which in fact are going to be solved by AI robots. Imagine that, artificially created problems that will be solved by AI psychologists.
No, you're right. Actually, it's funny. Just tonight, Sarah and I were talking about like finances and things like that. And I said, do you know what I want to buy? And she's like, yeah, you want to buy one of those AI robots, don't you? Because I was telling her a couple months ago about Tesla, and I think it's Amazon are developing basically like a buy an AI robot at home for like 20 grand. And, you know, I said, that'd be cool. You could teach it to like cook and clean, because in the videos they're showing like how precise and gentle it is. Like it can move an egg to the carton without breaking it, and it showed it cutting up like an apple and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. I was like, I'd have that thing trained like a bodyguard. I'd have it doing PPRI work for me. You know, I'd have it walking the dogs, like. But yeah, I mean, certainly.
What are you gonna do meanwhile?
I don't know. It might free up some of my time. I could get some more courses developed, get my fourth book out.
but see, this is very interesting, because you would still apply yourself intellectually or some other way, right? Oh, for sure. But yeah. Here, what we're talking about, it AI replacing the intellect. And what happens is that our lives will become much easier and, of course, more comfortable and convenient at the expense of our own IQs. And it is my understanding that we will just extinct like a species for because of the lack of need in our own intellect. So well, we have to be really careful about it.
Just think of the neurological studies that Elon Musk is doing, you know, with Neuralink. So right now they're talking about installing the Neuralink, you know, into the human brain to help people with certain medical conditions. But, you know, the next step to that would be that you're almost like a walking encyclopedia. So like you could connect to like Wi-Fi and the AI database and somebody could ask you a question and, you know, that chip could get all that information for you and then cause you to verbally, you know, regurgitate it. You know, if they can figure out the technology medical side of it, but we're certainly living in a very advanced age now with AI coming out. And like you said, with the AI images and affecting our self-image, I already see that today and have seen that with filters. And I'm sure some guys use filters. I have like before in the past used like the Instagram filters that come up like to see, you know, which filter makes your photograph look better or spooky or anything like that. But I've actually met you know, some women where when you see them in real life, you're thrown back because they're just so heavily filtered. And, you know, in their photos, you never see like any kind of pockmarks or anything like that. And then when you run into them, you almost don't even recognize them. And I know there's like dating stories, you know, of people meeting people off the social apps. And then they walk into the restaurant and they're like, where's the person I was talking to? And you don't even
recognize them. Right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, or it's like using a picture of you, you know, 10 years ago when you were super fit and then you walk in and you've got like, you know, 200 extra pounds on you or something like that. So,
guys do that too.
Yeah.
Do that thing. Guys do that too.
Oh, for sure. You're only putting the, your best foot forward, right? In the dating world. So, at least initially, but, no, it's, you're right. It's definitely a very, to answer our question for our show, I do think that it's both good and bad. I've seen, you know, some really good things with it, but I also think, you know, it has its potential to have some downfalls. I think jobs will be affected for sure. You know, we're already kind of seeing that. Right now, it seems like schooling and AI programmers are needed. So it's creating jobs, but then you also see, you know, you may not need a research assistant anymore because you could just go on to AI and do your own research a lot quicker and faster because it's accessing multiple databases simultaneously. Oh,
yeah. Do you remember the lit reviews that we did for our dissertation?
Yes.
It was horrible. And all the things that we had to do for that research, and you have to do it all on your own, right?
Well, that's the thing. People don't go to public libraries anymore. You know, when I was in New York City not too long ago, we went to visit the New York Central Public Library because it was filmed in Ghostbusters. So, of course, I had to see it. And it was really cool. Most of the people that were there, though, were tourists. There were two rooms that were kind of blocked off. They let you open the door and peek in, but it actually had lots of signs there because they know most people are at the library just for the tourism part. It said in the periodical room, you can only actually go in there if you're actually doing like legitimate research. And there was only like maybe two or three people in there. You know, I think, and it's unfortunate because they considered a national historic site. And I believe they said on the bus tour we took that they actually have a signed copy of the Declaration of Independence for you guys.
And the Americans can pronounce it. So you're
Canadian. I know. we don't have that. Yeah. but unfortunately, we're still under the British umbrella what do you call it? Not like more like it's more like a for showmanship.
For showmanship. Well,
yeah,
that we're going to go into politics. Let's not go into politics. Otherwise, we can get triggered. That is the favorite word of nowadays, right? We can get triggered. Do we have questions here or no? Or you have been sitting there and writing and typing and all of that. Okay, those were questions.
Well,
We, by the way.
my cousin's listening though. I see that. I see Jason Van Dusen commented. He's my cousin in Ontario. Follows. He said he follows. I was surprised he follows our show. I didn't
That's
know. I
nice.
just never know who's
Yeah.
listening.
Yeah, but Van Dusen, Don Van Dusione, Don Carleone,
Oh, one of my
that's you.
investigators is on there too, Peter McMasters.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's
Peter's
got an
here too.
interest. He's Peter is with PPRI. He's our tech guy. He actually just helped me last weekend. We went to Amherst and I spoke about poltergeists, apparitions, demons, and it was nice to have him there because he just went over and looked at their IT system and was able to get my computer up and running within seconds, whereas I would have had probably every wire dangling out and probably would have ripped something out that I shouldn't have. And so, yeah, that's great.
You think in the future we may not have that many wires and everything would be just done by the air?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's kind of the way it's going. Like Wi-Fi or, hands-free. Yeah, wireless.
Yeah, because if we look at that, if you remember Herbert Wells, for example, with his time machine, right? The War of the Worlds, and Isaac Asimov, who is, by the way, from Russia, he wrote The Foundation and the Robot. If we look at that, and then who else? Philip Dick, right? What was that? His novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And The Blade Runner. If you just look at that, it was so bizarre that they could foresee so many things that are taking place right now, but they could see that evidently they tapped into some sort of what they call it, the what is the word that everyone is talking in the spiritual community, that you tap into one place of the information that's virtual spiritual library, right? And it would just tell you all the information about it. So evidently they were able to get access to some of the information and portray things that are in fact that couldn't exist before, but they're existing now. Did you
Yeah.
notice that the interesting thing is that the cars that they would describe at that time, even in 60s and 60s and 70s and 80s movies, right? They were like this box type cars. And now we see that with the new Tesla truck, it is looks like a box, square box.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, it is. It's so true that the way that the cars are going now, they're very, sleek. Like I really like the look of the new Hyundai Elantras. They've got like a very, very sharp look to them. So, and I have been reading an article about they're getting close to, well, they're testing right now those flying cars. And so they're trying to figure out how that's going to work because that's something you see in the old movies, like about the future, is that there's going to be flying cars. But they were saying basically, if you're doing from 0 to 50 kilometers or miles per hour on the road, you would drive, but anything that you need to do faster than that, it would like hover up and you could fly to your location. So that's going to be really interesting because, that means the police would have to have vehicles that fly. And is there going to be like air traffic controllers and things like that that you have to report to? It's going to be pretty wild.
Remember that movie, The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yep.
the
Or
cars were flying.
it reminds me of the old cartoon, The Jetsons. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. That is so interesting.
Yeah,
Yeah. But
no,
they
it's
could
not.
foresee it all. And for example, if now we would have electric fences, right? It's also invisible electric fences. Maybe there we would have in the air electromagnetic walls, something like that. So people would not steer away from their air highways. But I don't know how it is going to be, but that is the stuff for the future for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Have you used AI in any of the work that you've done,
You know,
the past couple of years?
I wanted to do that, and I looked at the virtual reality devices for my clients, but there are some. I tried some before, and they were not to my liking. Were not as developed. They have now something closer that could be used in hypnotherapy, and my fear is that even that is going to replace human therapists. While it is going to be so convenient for people, well, first, they wouldn't even have to pay for that, right? It would be already developed with the software and then and the hardware, of course. You just put on those goggles and you are there living in a virtual reality. Of course, targeting the problems that you have. Nevertheless, again, there is a problem. People may want to stay in virtual reality and never come back, because when they do come back, it could create all sorts of problems for them from interacting in social settings to, like I said, the psychological problems. Agoraphobia, for example, right?
Oh yeah, I could see that. I think we talked about it before on the show, but there was a show that Sarah and I were watching called Upload, and it was basically before you die, they can download your consciousness to a database and then upload you to this like virtual world. So you have like a really nice room. And actually in the show, they had a dog that was a therapist. So you would go in the room and talk to the dog, and the dog could talk to you back like in human form. And it was like a worker. So it would cut to like the worker on his computer, and he's got like a microphone, and he'd be talking to you and counseling you in the digital death world. You're not that far out there from that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. I can see that while people are still kind of cautious about the hypnotherapy, a lot of people, of course, here in California, they're more open to that than in other areas of the United States or even the world. But nevertheless, now the hypnotherapy is called, and there's so many different names, which is one and the same thing. Also, the guided meditation, for example. So if we look at that, the future does not look so good. While it could be convenient, there are ethical considerations. We're not talking about the data breach, right? It could be very sensitive information leaking everywhere, and we will never know where those databases are, right? Like you said, that your consciousness gets downloaded. And where is it downloaded? Every time when I have all of my data in the cloud, somewhere where Apple keeps it, right? I'm paranoid. Like, where is it all going to end up? What if somebody gets access to it? And what if it gets crossed with somebody else's database, right? And
where it can just disappear. We just had this discussion here at PPRI because we realized that our Google Share Drive, we don't have it backed up anywhere. It's at Google. And I'm sure Google has backups and probably backups for its backups. But what if something ever happened and all of Google stuff just disappeared one day? We don't have a copy of any of our stuff. So we're actually in the process of going to start backing it up. But the thing is we got to be careful as well. It needs to be encrypted. We've got clients' information on there. Sometimes they submit their medical information to us, so it's got medical information. And like you said, if somebody asked me today, like, where's Google keep their servers at? I don't know. Is it in America? Is it, because in Canada, we do have one very strict thing is in the healthcare world. All our hospitals, clinics, anything like that, any Canadian medical records has to be stored on a server within Canada. Can't be anywhere outside of the country.
Hmm. Well, so, I get emails all the time about the data breach.
Oh, yeah.
Breach. Yes, no, and it all happens all the time.
Oh, it does. Yeah. And like, I can see why they need to have like a lot of control in place for AI, because if you think about it, it's got access to pretty much like every knowledge database. So you could start talking to it about coding, for example, and hacking. And then, you could start to get it to do little things so that it's familiar with how to do it. And then next thing you know, you're like, hey, AI, can you go into Scotiabank and, and transfer me to this Cayman Island bank account, you know, $10,000. Mm. And if it knows how to program and get through networks and IT security, you know, I assume it could do it. I mean, I read an article where OpenAI had wanted to see if it could spend, like, I think it was like $20 or $30, and if it could get by the CAPTCHA. And so what it did is, allegedly, this is what the article said, that it hired a human, like kind of like a tasker, and said, hey, I'm a older person that has I'm visually impaired. I can't see. I need to hire you to get me through this CAPTCHA. And I guess the tasker actually asked, are you artificial intelligence? And it wrote back and said, no. So the human was able to get the artificial intelligence past the CAPTCHA and ordered a subscription to something during the test. Mm. Like that's pretty advanced.
That is incredible.
Very, very incredible. I have used it for good things, though. Like, you know, for example, sometimes when we need to research something for a client, you know, I've been able to use artificial intelligence for that. I've used it to design. Again, the image graphic still needs a little bit of work, but our little new ghost logo that we have was designed by artificial intelligence, and it did a awesome job on that. It's one of our, you know, really popular t-shirts that we sell. So it does have you know, it does have some really good advantages, but you just have to be very careful, and of course it does have, I'm sure, a dark side to it.
Yeah, but the dark side, like you mentioned, with the photographs, are they authentic or not? How do we have to have the human eye and, of course, some technology in order to verify that. But with all of those images flooding the market right now, and they are so easy to create because you put in just a sentence with few commas, what you want to receive the image of. And right. It produces that image. I needed to have a house with a lawn and green lawn, people next to it with green shutters, right? And the moon shining on it on the right side. It gave it all to me.
Oh, absolutely.
This is bizarre. This is bizarre.
One of my commercial photographers on the team, Mike Shah, showed me how it could become advantageous for realtors to use, because he sent me an office picture of like a business that he took a picture of, and I looked at it. And then he sent me one that he kind of played around with artificial intelligence, just to see what it could do. And like, he had a plant in the corner and a lamp, and like made it look a lot more professional. And I mean, you can see, again, that would be really, really good. You know, because it makes the pictures look good. The property might sell. It's got some, you know, benefits to it. And then I've also seen those deep fake voice copiers and things like that, where there was an article not too long ago where a chief financial officer for a company got a phone call thinking it was the president and told him that he had to transfer money somewhere. So he did. And then he found out later that they got deep faked. It was not the president that had called. So, you know, you can see it's got a good side to it and a bad side to it, especially in the paranormal. Like you said, now when somebody emails you a photo or a video, you can't really say one way or the other. And I am going to talk to my photographers and see if there is a way that they can kind of tell if it's been altered. I know before I retired from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in 2020 that our tech crimes unit was having difficulty determining what was real and what wasn't real with digital evidence. So it is highly advanced.
Yeah, well, one of the good things is, of course, would be the data analysis and investigations when AI algorithms are sifting through the vast amounts of data collected during our paranormal investigations, like audio recordings, right? The video footage, environmental sensor readings. Yeah. So while this algorithms, I cannot speak tonight. I need AI. I need AI to double me.
You need the Neuralink in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
And then probably to get rid of the accent and probably speak with something else with a different, with Canadian accent, right? not really the Russian accent. So yeah, with these algorithms, they can identify patterns and anomalies. So that is actually the good thing, right? In analysis process. And yeah, also the pattern recognition, that is going to be so much easier, right? With AI powered image and audio recognition technology, yeah, that can detect anomalies or entities in photographs and videos. So what about the electronic voice phenomenon? I still have doubts about it.
Well, the problem with electronic voice phenomena, I always lecture this. I know this one well. And if Peter's still listening tonight, he heard me speak about it. Because Peter's by trade an audio engineer, I get him to do all our EVPs. But the problem with electronic voice phenomena is that right now, there's currently four theories on what they could be. The first one is that it's a discarnate entity communicating on the device, which, you know, is what I hope it is. The second one, and I see it often because I do play a electronic voice phenomena for the audience, and then I ask them what they think it says. And you can see the audio pareidolia, which is a psychological condition. It's where our brain hears something and tries to make sense of it. You know, it's trying to process that information so that we understand it. And people get the EVP wrong. And that would be a form of, audio pareidolia. The third thing, and it actually happened to Michelle DeRoche, basically telepathy caught on tape. And she talks about an investigation that she had where she and one of her investigators had to go interview a client to see if it was worth doing like a full-scale field investigation. Her daughter was really sick one night. And while they were interviewing the client, she kept saying in her head, I got to get home. My daughter's really sick. I got to get home. My daughter's really sick. And when her investigator was reviewing the audio, he reviewed the audio and heard her come across the tape and say that. But it was while the client was telling the story. He didn't remember her saying that. And it didn't interrupt the natural flow of conversation. If a client had heard you blurt out that you got to get home because your daughter's sick, you think that they would stop talking and be like, oh my God, like go home. We'll do this another time. So he phoned Michelle and ran that by her. And she said, I didn't say that out loud. Like that I was saying it in my head, but I didn't say it out loud. She said it was on one of those old magnetic tapes. So she's trying to locate it for me because I'd love to use it for my lectures and learning opportunities. And then the fourth theory is that it could be some form of interference, either through Wi-Fi, cell, radio, or I actually had a case where it was a Facebook conversation crossover. So that's one issue with, EVPs. And now, of course, like you just mentioned with artificial intelligence, I'm sure artificial intelligence could design a really realistic EVP clip for you if you asked it. I'm not sure if it's doing audio yet. I assume it is because I've heard people talk about mixed artists singers where they've taken like different singers and different music and kind of mixed the songs together. So I assume that people are using AI for audio as well.
You know, what is so interesting to me, I'm a skeptic here because, well, my dad is an electrical engineer and I've been discussing it with him for quite some time now. And of course, he told me that is the interference from other radio stations. And he told me how he was also, while even serving in the army, did a lot of this radio work, and he told me that is just absolutely there are people who do pranks on other people, and it could very well be. And also, even if we have all of those theories, right, what it could be, I would like just to play the devil's advocate here and just to ask a question. As a linguist, and I think that you and I have discussed that already, why, when we have the ghost, for example, and we hear the ghost, and especially on catch them on EVP, none of them have an accent, considering those ghosts are actually, they're actual people that lived before, and from their historical period, they should have an accent, they should have a different pattern of speech. Right. And especially when we go to different countries, and the ghosts would be speaking the language of the country that we're, that they're in, listening to that, but somehow they will be speaking English. That if we are talking to the English speaking community right now, and there's so many shows that have the recordings of to have the EVPs, right? And nobody's asking that question.
No, that's true. I do have local friends that have captured French responses at the Fortress of Louisbourg here in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. However, I will note that they use cell phone applications, which I am extremely skeptical of, because I know from my time with the RCMP that our phones listen to us, whether or not we have the settings turned off or not. That's why it's no coincidence if you and I are talking about a Volkswagen Beetle, the next thing we know when we're on Facebook, we see
an ad.
Mm-hmm. Was talking to Sarah about there's a lawsuit here in Canada against Veterans Affairs Canada because they shortchanged us that get pensions. So they owe us, there was a lawsuit we wanted, they owe us 2%. And I said mm-hmm. to Sarah, I said, I'm not quite sure when that's coming out. I had heard the summer. I know sooner said that. I open my phone and there's an ad from the lawyer's office on my Facebook asking like to click it. And then when I clicked it and I read when it comes out, it actually comes out. We could get paid anywhere from March 19th up until December 14th is the final date that they have to pay. No coincidence. That is not a coincidence. So, it's and obviously I just saw Peter's message there too. He said that he has a song of Elvis Presley singing Black Sabbath. Obviously, AI can alter audio there. So,
oh, absolutely. And what is so scary is that, like you mentioned, people can impersonate anybody here, even with a video. Have you noticed there are so many reels when you would see all those famous people talking, and of course that you know what they talk during those videos. However, the another voice that would be similar to their voice, that would be doubling them, would be bringing a totally different message. Message that suits the agenda of the person who created that, and they sell different kind of things. Like, for example, if they're so interested in promoting their products, right, and those people would be like the faces of their company, and that is all fake.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's real and what's not real. I mean, people send me TikTok videos of like paranormal phenomena, and you know, I always watch it, but I mean, I can't tell if it's real or not. And like I say now, the paranormal has gone back to almost seeing is believing, because you almost need to see it now and capture it in order to give it any sort of validity, you know. And I mean, even maybe even if you don't trust your teammates or something like that, you know, we have one guy on our team. He's a big prankster, you know. So if they had gone and say saw a levitation and filmed it, I mean, if I didn't see it myself, I'd even have questions about it, you know, because I'd be like, are they just trying to pull my leg, or you know, did they actually really capture it? So hard to tell these days.
Yeah, you know, even I believe that in the cases of distant viewing, right? Of course, that before they used to, in the Stargate project, for example, used to employ people, just real humans as sleepers, just to get the information. Perhaps we could see that maybe not in the near future, but maybe in 100 years or maybe sooner, we will be able to obtain that information just through AI.
Yeah, it's quite possible. I think it's only going to advance. In fact, last night I was doing some work with ChatGPT-4. Like I said, we have a support, and I noticed they must have done an update, because when I had mentioned something about the Halifax Paranormal Symposium, a little message came up, and I showed Sarah. I'm like, "Oh, this is cool." But it said memory created. So AI made a memory, and it said, when you highlighted your mouse over it, it said Elliot Van Dusen is the lead organizer for the Halifax Paranormal Symposium. And it created a memory for itself. That's really cool. Could also be dangerous too, though.
By just listening to you.
By me asking a question saying, I'm organizing something for the Halifax Paranormal Symposium. It actually created a memory saying Elliot Van Dusen is a, you know, lead organizer on the Halifax Paranormal Symposium.
You know what, Dr. Elliot, life was so easy back in the 60s, for example. If you just look at that, somehow this hollow nickel case just popped in my case, remember? With a Russian spy at the time, the Russian sleeper agent in United States. And that was a hollow nickel case where he would transport the information and give it to other people. In the park. But if you just look at that, how ingenious we were before. We were so smart at the time as humans. And of course, maybe this is not the best example, and people can be thinking, oh, like you're talking about Russians. But somehow at that time it was, and we don't even have to talk just about that and so many different cases, just the way that people used to think. Now I think we're going to lose that capacity. To tell you the truth, I'm no longer safe where my phone is. I'm no longer safe, and I prefer to turn it off, and I don't take it to certain places where I go. I don't take it to a bedroom anymore. I leave it outside. Who knows who would be listening? Maybe just not only the neighbors, and my personal phone would be listening, you know, recording it somewhere of the events.
We were told basically, yeah, if you don't want to be electronically surveilled, you'd have to have like a cabin that you pretty much built yourself out in the woods with your own power source, no electronics, not even a television. Because if you think of the technology that's involved in television, they can tell how long you actually viewed a commercial as well. That's how they can tell if a commercial was successful, or, you know, if a certain commercial came on, did somebody click it off after two minute commercial? That would be brutal. After 2 seconds. Yeah. So basically you have to live in a place isolated with absolutely no technology around, nothing mechanical. It's scary for sure.
What'd you say?
I said, I guess we're at the top of the hour already. Everyone's listening to Science and the Paranormal, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3, 107.7 FM. At New Orleans, and also on Roku TV.
Live on Tuesday night.
We are live. We are live. We do have a slight change to our show. We are doing a 1 hour show now instead of an hour and a half. So, we always like to switch it up, don't we, Dr. Yana?
Oh, yes, we do.
For any of our listeners out there. Again, we are hosting the 2024 Halifax Paranormal Symposium that will be held at the Halifax Tower Hotel and Conference Center this year, Saturday, October 12th, 2024. Tickets are on sale right now at ppri.net/tickets. The supernatural awaits you. And next year, I'm going to have Dr. Yana come talk about the Anunnaki.
The Anunnaki is going to be powerful.
I think that'll be a really interesting topic. Yeah. Yeah, I think that'll be good.
You know, if we think about that, the Anunnaki, I've also been pondering this question, because for me, for quite some time, that was the beginning of our civilization as we know it now. But then with some other evidence that is resurfacing now from the northern Russian lands that precede the Anunnaki timeline. I have to investigate that and possibly bring it also along with Anunnaki to Canada to talk about it.
That'd be really cool. That'd be really, really cool.
Yeah, because it is so interesting. And not only that, intellectually approaching this topic, the reason why I even started to be interested in it is because during my dreams, I would be giving some sort of like text that sometimes I would be reading, or just audibly, all of these names would be coming, and the story, I would hear the storyline, and the names would be so unfamiliar to me, so I would just have to look it up when I wake up. And surely enough, those were the objective reality from the times, as now we know with the origins of humanity, our own civilization now. And that what brought me to investigating that and much more. And we can talk about it. And that will be fantastic. That will be fantastic. I look forward to it. Yeah. But going back to what you just mentioned, yeah, we're going to have to build a cabin in the woods, right? We're going to go, what happened to us humans from the Stone Age? We were on a quest to civilization, right? To modernization of our lives, to industrial revolutions of some sort. And then we come to the time when we just have to go back to the woods and build a cabin away from everybody.
Yeah. You know, and like when I'm sure when the, I always thought about it myself, really, you know, like, because if you think about it, we kind of demonize places like China, for example, you know, we call them a communist country. And, you know, over here in North America, like they're so bad. But if you look at where all our stuff comes, it comes from China. Everything's made in China.
Making us the biggest hypocrites.
And I always thought that like years ago before all this and before my RCMP training and, you know, learning all the witchcraft or what do you call it? The tradecraft, witchcraft. I was going to say.
Witchcraft.
Which, yeah, they never taught us witchcraft, but tradecraft. And I always wondered that. I'm like, you know, like where China's producing everything for us, how easy would it be for them to put some software in there or put a chip in there to turn things on and monitor? Because, you know, who does the government use for their computers? You know, they buy HPs, they buy Dell. And when you start looking where things are sourced from, it usually goes back to those countries that produce things really cheap. So I wasn't really surprised to hear that. But you're right. Like, I know in my house, I've got, I don't want to say it because it'll activate. I got one on my desk, but I have Alexa. And then on my phone, I have Siri. those are two programs right there that we know can be activated sometimes without us calling their name, right? And I've actually signed into my Amazon account before and looked at the conversations with Alexa, and sometimes she turns on and has captured things that Sarah and I are saying when we haven't seen her active and when we haven't asked her to do anything. So, you know, very, like you said, I don't blame you for putting, especially if you have a, you know, important private conversation that you really wouldn't want anyone to hear. Yeah, you better do it in either a Faraday cage or like you said, go outside where there's absolutely no electronics.
Absolutely. You never know. And being brought up in a household with the two grandfathers, and of course our families were so close, and that they were colonels, and they would always teach me how to be careful and what to say and what not to say. And we have to be diligent enough even to know that. But the coming, growing up in this kind of environment, you go and you have your eyes everywhere, you have your ears everywhere, and even then you won't be able to get the entire picture of what is happening around you at any particular moment, right? We never know where the bugs are. We never know. And especially now, even in the dating world, like, for example, you mentioned, you never know what people have. Even your family members, sometimes they record you unknowingly, right? They would not even let you know, and they would use it against you, your own family members. So maybe it is a good thing in some way, because as Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, what was that, in the 60s, I believe, he said in his book, he said, our problem in the United States is that we cannot keep our mouth shut. So he was talking, of course, about the KGB and the CIA, and he said that the KGB are way advanced. Why? Because they know how to keep their mouths shut. So maybe it could be a good thing nowadays with all of the listening devices around us. We'll finally learn how to keep our mouth shut and not to be so blabby about everything that is happening in our lives, that we will be cautious. We will understand of the nature of humanity, finally. We'll ask ourselves questions and not be so naive and dumb. Plainly.
Yeah, it's that part's interesting about the KGB, because they would have, you know, they would have been aware of a bunch of tradecraft as well. So I'm not really surprised to hear that. You know, I've even in my policing career met drug traffickers that are smart enough not to talk around their phone and mm-hmm. not say things over the phone in case there's like a wire running. You know, you see it in the wiretaps from the FBI when it gets released in documentaries with the mafia, you know, they're also usually very careful what they say. Sometimes, obviously, because it's been in the documentaries, they've gotten caught on the wire, but you know, for the most part, you'll hear them talking in code or, you know, not saying anything too incriminating. So it's a wild technological world that we live in now.
Yeah, and we have to be careful.
We do. You know, I really do think that AI has its benefits for the world of the paranormal, but I also think that it can be dangerous at times. I think, you know, like especially if someone's trying to pull some trickery on you with audio, video, photographs. I do see it being very helpful, though. Like you said, analyzing research data, for example, mm-hmm. go through massive amounts of data, you know, very quickly. I've actually used it to pick winners for our contests. I'll import all the names or all the ticket holder names and then have it randomly select a winner. And then it's saved in the database. So, you know, if anyone ever had a question like, oh, how did the winner get picked up? Well, it's saved in the database. So you can see, you know, that it was picked independently and randomly by AI.
That is interesting. You know, that is also, I wanted to mention about the simulated reality. I know that we touched upon it a little bit, and then that the simulated reality could be the threat also to our safety and to the way that we see the world. As we know it now, it will cease to exist because, for example, the holograms that we see, right, that who knows what before, previously in the books and even in the paintings that we see from the centuries back, what it was depicted there. Perhaps it could also be a hologram or some sort of device that was known to them before, right? And now, did you see those images, holographic images, saw them on videos in China? That would be on the corners of the building, some animal, a huge animal jumps at you right onto the street. And it's so realistic. People
yes,
get so yeah, scared, probably having heart attacks there.
Yeah, there's that I've seen. And then I've never like watched it or anything like that, but I know they've done some hologram tributes with artists that have passed away. I believe they've done some with Michael Jackson and, mm-hmm. You know, even I'm obviously a huge fan of Ghostbusters. I'm wearing a t-shirt tonight, but they even did some, you know, some AI special effect work by putting Egon in the Ghostbusters Afterlife movie. They were able to, you know, take his likeness. And I know that's a big issue in Hollywood now about their likeness being used by AI for movies and filming mm-hmm. and things like that, and compensation, of course. But yeah, it's man, we're in a fascinating time. It's almost like we're going from the information technology age to the artificial intelligence age now.
You know, sometimes with the problems that people have with memories of different amnesiac problems, sometimes people fall asleep for several years and then they wake up not knowing the reality as they knew it then. And I think that now everything is developing so fast that God forbid to fall asleep for a week, you wake up and there's something new going on in the world.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. Like in some of the movies, yeah, where they're in a coma and they wake up and they're just so confused at all the, you know, the technology. Or I was having a conversation with somebody not too long ago, and we talked about if you could find a time machine and bring, like, you know, two iPhones back with you, for example. And, you know, you said, this piece of technology will allow you to contact your mother. Let's call her and have, you know, one person with the person you're going to get to call the mom, and then have another person with the mom, show them how to use it. And they'd probably think you were like a witch or a demon or something. You know, if you took it back to like the 1600s, they'd think it's some sort of witchcraft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and you wouldn't even come back. You would be burned at the stake.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They'd probably, yeah. They, I don't think they'd appreciate it. Well, even in my lecture, I talked about, past weekend, Esther Cox. So that happened in the late 1800s. And, it was investigated by, Walter Hubble, who was an actor and screenwriter. And he thought it would be a good idea after the case was resolved to go on tour to talk about it. And when they went to New Brunswick, I think they did two shows. And back then people did not appreciate the paranormal like they do now, and they basically ran them out of town. They threw stuff at them. They were horrible to them, and they ended up shutting down that tour, and they didn't talk about that famous poltergeist case in a public setting anymore because it just wasn't accepted back then. So I find that the psychology behind that and the human sociology very amazing and fascinating.
You know, I have been, of course, reading a lot of mythology in my life, and all of those stories, comparing them to religious stories and narratives, and even now to also, of course, to witchcraft, and now how technology is developing, I'm realizing that those things that were known to people from classic Greek mythology, for example, to now, those were all real things. If we look at the cloak of invisibility, right, or the helmet of the helmet of righteousness, there, cloak of invisibility, right? If we just put it in Christian terms, what is it? What's invisibility? Now, did you see that? Even I think it was a Chinese or Japanese that developed that fabric of invisibility.
Yes. So,
what was that at the time? Of course, it was mythology. Imagine that people used it before.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah, I remember they were talking about it's almost like Harry Potter's invisible cloak or whatnot. It's wild. We're living in wild times.
Yeah, because everything that used to be considered as witchcraft or something paranormal now is just the science, and the science proved it and created it. And now we know it as a real objective thing that we can accept as technological advances, right? But before, we would be hung or would be burned at the stake, and that's it.
Absolutely.
Life would be over. So I think that you and I are so lucky to live at this time right now where we can have this conversation. So many thousands of people can listen to it, and we will be still alive and intact in our own places.
We are lucky. I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah. Well, it has been a great conversation, but of course, the musings on how things are going to be in the future. We will, of course, embrace the AI, and we will change our faces and images to the non-recognition stage. No, but we will use it, of course, in paranormal investigations. You more than I, because I rely on my own senses more and the ability to see. But I think it's going to be really interesting. And we will hear a lot from you as well, because we will need to talk about it and bring it to people how AI is changing the world of paranormal investigations. And maybe next time we can talk about then the dream studies, the dreams, what the dreams are, in fact, and how AI can enhance it. So we never know. This is a simulated reality. People could be going into to sleep at night and also given a task, for example, oh, I want to see this. And this is exactly what they would be seeing and experiencing, that having like an order at night. So we never know. We will be bringing all this information to you guys. So stay with us. Thank you for being with us live on Tuesday night on United Public Radio Network, 107.7 FM. It's been fabulous, Dr. Elliot, and not less fabulous, Dr. Yana. Have tune a good in. Night, everyone.
Have a great night, and tune in next week, because we do have a very special guest. It's retired Roman Catholic priest, Father Bob Bailey, and we'll be talking about some demonology with Father Bailey.
Fantastic. I look forward to it as well.
Have a great night, everyone.
Good night.